Okay, thank you. All right, for our Sunday school lesson today, we will be turning eventually to some scriptures. But to start with, I want to introduce what we're going to look at today. We're going to consider some problem areas. Problems don't have to mean trouble, okay? Life is real, and real life is not a storybook. It's not a dream world existence. In real life, problems exist. And to expect a life without problems is unrealistic and will for sure bring discouragement because the expectations just can't be met. But problems do not have to mean defeat. Problems can have some actual beneficial purposes. And so we're going to look at several problem areas. The first one we're going to start with is the problem of people. We must consider, when we think about this matter, the problem of people, the example of Jesus Christ. And let's talk to him. Father in heaven, our desire indeed is that you would lead us and guide us, and that we may have an understanding of these matters as Jesus Christ would. We've been told that the Holy Spirit has been given to teach us. And so we ask indeed for his enabling power and teaching today. In Jesus' name, amen. So Jesus constantly dealt with people with problems, people who were a problem. You see, there's those two aspects. People who have a problem, and then people who are a problem. And, you know, we meet this, it can be in family, it can be at work. We can find people problems with neighbors, or even in church you can find this. Wherever people are, you're going to find this problem in life. Life is concerned with people. And you cannot hide from people. Now, some try to do that. I guess the ultimate way would be the monastic life. Individual goes and lives in a monastery, and various religions have monastic orders and people who are in them, and they're secluded in that compound. And they have a regimen of activities, but it's all away from any other contact. But the most typical way that we find people who try to hide from others would be by indifference. And the person is just indifferent to anything and everything that's going on around them. Some try to live with limited involvement. They just do as little as they can that involves being around other people. and they do this because they, and of course in that kind of situation you have to ask, are they the problem or are they trying to avoid the problem? But you know, we are all involved with people. Now, back when I was pastoring at Grace Bible, we averaged 155 people on a Sunday morning. Sunday night was around 100. And then Wednesday nights, I think, was 65 to 75. And so I was involved with that many people. Now, obviously, not all 150 on the same day, but there were 150 people, average attendance, that I was involved with. We often said that if everybody came in the same Sunday, we would have near 200. Because not everybody comes to church every day, every Sunday, you know. And so, but there was I had a lot of people involvement. And then in the community, because I was the pastor and I was there for, lived in that area 42 years, because that was the case, I was known by many people. I know the fellow that ran the local convenience store, locally owned and operated. I remember him when he was a teenager in high school, okay? I had some kids that I would pick up on the with the church van to come to our children's club. I would pick up these children. Their parents used to ride the church bus when I drove the church bus. And so, you know, involvement with people. Just constantly. Well, then I retired. And that's a change when it comes to people involvement. Because now I see neighbors aside of us across the street, but that's just to say, hi, how are you doing? Maybe stand for a minute and chat about the grass that's growing too much or the snow that needs shoveling. The part-time job that I had interviewing people on their medical conditions, that involved 6 to 8 people that I would see once a week, okay? And now the part-time job I have at the Olean Library, there's a staff of 10, 12 people. They're not all there at the same time. There's probably 6 to 8 there at any given time. And but I don't even have involvement with all of them. And most of them, it's just to say, hey, don't you like the sunshine today? You know, and as usual, chat about weather. So my people involvement went from many down to just a few. And so we all, now you have people involvement. And if we gave you an opportunity, you could tell us what that people involvement is. The solution to people problems or people who are a problem, the first thing is love. Okay, I'm just giving you a chance to let that sort of sink in. Okay, the first solution is love. Now, let's take a guy at work. And he's a problem. I mean, it doesn't matter where you park, he's going to complain. It doesn't matter where you set your lunch pail, he's going to complain. I mean, it's just that kind of guy he is, okay? And you have different situations in which a person can be a problem. And I'm saying now the first solution is to love them. Yeah, right. You know, this part of you may mentally acknowledge, because you know the Bible and you believe the Bible, you would acknowledge, yeah, that I know that. But the other part of you that lives your daily life, we have trouble relating to that. But therein is the answer. I just gave it in that sentence. We have trouble relating to that. Because you see, it's my contention that love is first of all a relationship. And then secondly, feelings and emotions. You have a relationship with someone, and in that relationship you have, because you are interacting with them, you can develop the feelings of love. But you see, often when I, like when I said the first solution to people problems is to love them, well, I don't feel that way toward them. Well, sure. Because, you know, no matter where you park, the guy's complaining. No matter where you set your lunch pail, the guy's complaining. no matter what you say, he'll sneer at it. And so what, you don't have a relationship with him. Now, the common human reaction to that is, no, I don't, and I don't want to have one. Okay? That's the common reaction. But we're not to act in the common manner, are we? As Christians, we're to react differently. So the beginning point to this person who's a problem is that we need to pray. We need to pray for this person. We need to pray for ourselves and ask God to help us to think different and feel different about this person. And that's the way that we can go about to build a normal work relationship. Now, he may resist it and never come around, okay, to accept your desire to have a normal relationship. But you see, in the whole process of praying and asking God to help you to establish a normal relationship, what it's going to do is change our outlook, our attitude toward the person. They may continue to be as obnoxious as they've been, but our outlook and our attitude will change, and that's going to make a difference. And, you know, Christ loved people, friendly ones, bitter ones, hateful ones. He loved them all. As a matter of fact, on the cross, what did Jesus pray? One of the things was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And so, it's significant that Jesus did this. Well, you know, now, I don't know about you, but I've often thought, well, yeah, I can understand. He can do that. He's Jesus, you know. Jesus can do anything, but I'm not Jesus. And we're not, and I recognize that difference. But remember, he was tempted in all points like we are, the Bible says. So the testings of Jesus, okay, easily could have involved reacting to people in a human way, but he didn't, okay? And so we need to love people. We need to build a relationship with people. Now, let's take it out of the work situation and put it into a family situation, okay? Because that's an altogether different kind of relationship that you have with an individual. And there can be people in a family that just don't care for you and don't, you know, they don't like you in plain words. And so they're a problem. And whenever you go to a family gathering and they're there, there's just tension. And there's just not a relaxed experience for yourself. And so the Bible teaches us Christians to have an attitude of tolerance. Tolerance plus. Now listen, if we're going to be the kind of Christian we ought to be, we need to have tolerance. I'm not saying it's easy. As a matter of fact, it's not easy. It's difficult. And when I let myself be in the old nature, in the flesh, okay, tolerance, I don't want to be tolerant. But then the Holy Spirit reminds me, you're not in control of your life. I'm in control of your life. And then I have to admit to him that I had an attitude, I had feelings that are not right. And that's the beginning point, is always admitting in prayer and asking for God's help to change things. And so we may not endorse a person's actions or approve their ideas, but we need to endeavor to build a normal relationship with them so we can love them for Jesus' sake. You know, we can do an awful lot of talking about witnessing. We can do a lot of talking as Christians about being a witness. And we can wax great about soul winning and the importance of it and everything. But the fact is, we need to live day by day, interacting with people in a right way for Jesus' sake. Let me give you an illustration. I took Pat shopping on Friday, And I did it in the way that I've explained to you already, when I've encouraged you men to go with your wife shopping, because if that's what she likes to do. Not all ladies are shoppers, okay? But if she is, I encourage you to go with her. And I did what I usually do. I just stood there as long as I could stand there and wait. And then I said, okay, we were at the mall. I'm going to go out and sit on the bench. You take as long as you'd like, and I'm going to be sitting on the bench. I'll people watch. I went on my phone and checked, you know, email, different things. And so, but we went there. I said, all right, now, we've been gone long enough. It's lunchtime. Okay. The perk for me is I had to go out for lunch now. So I said, how would you like? Let's go to KFC, I said. All right. She said, that'll be fine. And because of her unusual diet, I said, what are you going to eat? And she said, well, I'll get a piece of chicken, take the skin off. And they don't make grilled chicken anymore at our KFC there in Olean. And so she couldn't get the grilled, so she got the other skin off. And so we sat down, had a good time eating. But before we did that, when we went to go in, the wind was blowing. It was blowing against the doors that made it difficult to open the doors. But I come to realize that there was a malfunction with the doors. And so I had gone outside to look at one of the signs that was on, you know, that we saw from the outside, remind myself what it was, only to learn when I came back in, it was on the inside too. But I didn't see that when I first went out. So anyway, I'm pulling on the door, finally get out. I would not make a good poker player. I understand a poker player needs to have a straight face and nobody can see what his hand is, whether good or bad. You know, you can't reveal that. I mean, I don't know, I never played poker. And so, I was trying to come back in and I pull in the door. I don't know if my face, how it looked. But when I got back in, Pat was standing there and she said, you know, Roger, somebody here might know you're a Christian. See, I can stand up here and preach wonderfully about how we ought to witness and take tracts. But it's out there that I need to have a good people relationship. And what she was saying is, what if one of those workers in the back or a customer on the other side knows you're a Christian and they see? I didn't realize I was having that kind of face. I mean, I really need to live with a set of mirrors, okay? So I can catch myself. And so... You know, did I like that? No, I never like to be reminded of times when I'm doing wrong. But I thought about it, and when we were done eating, I said to her, I said, you know, you're right. I shouldn't have reacted to those doors the way I did. And I had also talked to the Lord while we were sitting at the table and asked him to forgive me for the kind of reaction that I had. You see, it's important that our relationship with people is as it needs to be, and have tolerance. You know, when we went to go in, a worker was walking by, and she actually pushed the door open to help these two old people. it was very, very, you know, considerate of her. And so I read this week, and I thought it was rather good about this matter of relationships. A relationship with Jesus that doesn't change your life isn't really a relationship with Jesus. A relationship with Jesus that doesn't change your life really isn't a relationship. wow, when I read that, I thought so true. And then looked at my own life. And again, I began to pray because there's things there that just need to be different. And so the first thing to people problems is to love them, and that involves building a relationship. And when you have a relationship built, then the feelings can come, all right? You can, you know, like across the street from where we live, there's some people, and I really like them people. They're nice people, and they're good people. But, you know, I can't really say I love them, because I don't have that level of relationship with them. I like them. If I want to use the word love can we think of the word love and give it different levels, 1 to 5, 1, you know, being the lowest? Yeah, well, maybe I can say I love them at maybe a 2, because that's the extent of the relationship that I would have with them. I know what it is we're trying to express regarding that kind or that level of involvement with people, but the relationship that we have with people, that's what can bring good emotions and feelings. And we need to focus not on the end result of the emotions and feelings, we need to focus on the beginning point of building a relationship. You know, the Bible says that another thing that can help us when it comes to relating to people is patience. Now, patience is not easy, but it's possible. Christ had the utmost patience with people, and we fail so often, yet he's patient with us. We do so poorly, but he's patient with us. It's Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 and verse 3. Romans 5 and verse 3. Not only so, but we glory in tribulation also. Here it is. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience. So, you know, I've heard it said already, well, I don't pray for patience because then God's going to give me tribulation. Tribulation is going to come, whether you're praying for it or not. I mean, life just has its down times. And what I understand is being told to us here is that patience can be the outcome. Now, I say can be. Can be. When you meet a problem, patience can be the outcome. Patience can be the way of handling the problem, but patience can also be the outcome of the problem. And we must learn to be patient. Now, the key word there is learn. It isn't something that just comes about naturally. Because the natural inclination of the old man is to be impatient, like with the doors. They weren't opening. And I was not being patient. Failed that test. You know, you don't really feel very good, do you, when you fail one of those kinds of tests? And the other side of the coin is that when you do, you know, pass some kind of a test, when you have some kind of an experience and you react the way you should react, and you react properly, and you, wow, praise the Lord, I did it, you know, I had his grace, I lived right, you feel so good. And that's okay, it's good to feel good, it is not good to feel bad. We must pray for patience. And the other thing is, thank God for the person who helps you to be patient. Thank God for the person who helps you to be patient. Who is it in your life that helps you to be patient? Who is it in my life that helps me to be patient? Pat, right? Yeah, my wife, she's the one who helps me to be patient. Now, I can get super saintish and say, well, it's really the Lord that helps me. You know, if I was that good a super saint, I'd probably be more patient, okay? And yes, he does help us, you know, obviously so. But on a day-by-day basis, who is it that helps you to be patient? Is it one of your children? Is it your spouse? maybe it's a neighbor. You say, well, how could a neighbor help you? Well, if you got a really good close relationship with him, he could just flat out tell you. But other than that, I have met people already who they were patient. And as I interact with them, I see their patience. And when I'm not feeling patient and they're being patient, now's where the Holy Spirit comes in. He then uses that person to be a rebuke to me for my impatience. God wants to change our lives, and he will use whoever he can to do that. A problem can build patience. Now, do you notice I said can? Doesn't mean it'll automatically happen. You got a problem, doesn't mean you're going to automatically come out of it patient. If we won't grumble against these life's experiences, then we can learn from them. Now, it's amazing what God has done in my life. Now, depending on how you're thinking right now, you're thinking I'm giving myself a big pat on the back. Just wait. Okay? The illustration's not done. But I am just so thankful for what God has done in my life and the changes that he has made. Nevertheless, I need to pray and pray and pray. My two grandsons, Jake and Sam. Yeah, that's Sam. And back when they were, you know, 5 and 6 and 9 and 10 and around the house a lot, my nickname was Grumpa. Grumpa. I know one time I was working with his older brother Jake, and we were doing something, I grumbled about it. And he said, why are you mad? I said, I'm not mad. He said, well, you sounded. I said, no, I said, I'm just sputtering. Now, was he four years old, maybe? Was he 4 o'clock? 4 years old. And I said, no, I'm not mad. I'm not upset. I'm sputtering. This thing, it didn't go right. And so, that very day, his mother observed him doing something, and she said, why are you upset? And he said, I'm not, I'm just buttering. Problems can build patience, but we have to learn from them. We need to ask God's help, and we need to add good characteristics to our our life and to the matter of dealing with people. We need to love them. That involves building whatever kind or level of relationship with them, so we can have that kind of interaction we need. And then we need to be patient with them. And the last thing is we need helpfulness. Helpfulness. No one ever came to Jesus for help and they didn't receive it. He never turned anyone away. Some people didn't accept the help, okay, like the rich young ruler who Jesus said, well, you know, divest yourself of everything. And he went away sad because he wasn't going to do what Jesus said. But no one ever came to Jesus and asked for help. But what they did, what he said, and they got the help. You know, Jesus could read their mind. Now, we can't do that, can we? When we interact with people, we can't read their mind. We might know them well enough, even if it's a co-worker situation where we don't know them intimately, but because of frequent contact, we know them well enough that we can anticipate what they're doing or thinking or why they did something, but we can't know it in the sense of really knowing what's in their mind and what they're thinking. And that's why we need to communicate. There are some people that are just unbelievably good at communication. They can talk to someone. I think our pastor has this gift and ability. He is able to talk to somebody who's upset with something, and he's able to talk with them in such a manner as to not be confronting them, as to not be causing them to be defensive. And it's just a skill that he has. But communication is very important. That's how we get to know what people are really, truly thinking. Now, in reading and studying on this type of thing when it comes to leadership, at one of the classes I taught at the pastor's training school of the Good Shepherd Baptist Mission had to do with management. And one of the things that I read just this week, as a matter of fact, was a manager must manage. And so it's important to communicate with people, to understand what they're thinking, why they're thinking the way they are. And questions is what I'm told is the thing. Ask the right kind of questions. Not those that put a person on defense, okay? But just questions that enable them to open up and express. Wow. Think about that. To be able to ask those kind of questions and in order to help a person and not cause them to be defensive. Some people, again, some of you have that ability to have that kind of interaction and to ask those kind of questions. We know that body language is involved, okay? How often have we been told that when you're talking with somebody, you don't want to stand there like this, you know? I know the answer to that. Let's talk about it. Okay, so we know, you know, that kind of situation, and there's body language, you know, and even the very posture and how one stands. If you're standing, let's talk about this, Chris. You know, I got my feet planted and I'm ready. And that's what that's saying. That's not what I'm intending. That's just a comfortable way for me to stand. But I'm trying to communicate. You see, I need to do it in a way that avoids that. And you know, this can come into play even with our kids and our children. Wow, I never thought about that until just right then. Okay, and what a time to think of it, because my wife just walked in and she has to hear me say that. And so, helpfulness, trying to help people. Jesus had the answers to their problems. He had the solutions. And we may not be able to help everyone with the needs that they have, but those that we can help, we should help. My difficulty in that area, and I use it as an illustration, is to try to determine when a person really needs help and when they're just trying to hit me up as an easy mark. Okay? And I'm willing to help, but when you realize, yeah, okay, well, here, I'll help you, and you give a guy, $5, and then you watch him, and you see him go to somebody else and somebody else, you begin to realize, this guy's just a panhandler. He doesn't really need the kind of help he projected. And there's where we have to, as Christians, rely on the Holy Spirit. And again, and I realize a stranger on the street is a different situation than people we have repeated involvement with. As we have repeated involvement with them, we have an opportunity to observe them and to have some level of relationship. Okay, it may be a low level, but some level of relationship with them. Well, we're going to stop there. People are problems. Next time I teach, which will be the first Sunday in May, I'm going to deal with the next problem that doesn't have to mean defeat, and that's the problem of self. Okay, and then there are other problems. Let me go through my notes and show them to you. There's the problem of time. I got about 2 pages on that, on time. And then the problem of struggles. And, on the problem of time, I got a true story here it's a good one about a young man looking for a job. So, I'm eager to share that. And that'll come in 2 weeks when I teach the first Wednesday in the month of May. Father in heaven, we thank you for the opportunity to look into your word, to talk about the things of life as they exist to us, and we're grateful for it all in Jesus' name.